I'm coming very close up now to 10 past 6. Hand you over to the on-air studio and Eileen O'Driscoll and Joy for the lovely programme Life to the Full.
Welcome to Life to the Full programme here this evening. You're joined by myself, Eileen, and I have Joy here in studio with me as well. And this evening we'll be introducing you again to very special guests that we have on to join us this evening and chat to us about wonderful youth initiatives that are happening just on our doorstep, and which will be a lovely treat for our listeners and for all of you this evening. So as always, we would love to hear from you, and if you would like to text or engage with the show, you can text or WhatsApp 089 467 2000, or you can email info@radiomaria.ie. So just as always this evening, I'm just going to begin with a prayer and a reflection, and then we will introduce our special guests for this evening. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
St. John Paul II,
pray for us.
So this evening's reflection is called The Singular Love Given to You. When pondering the love and the mercy of God, it is tempting to see his love in a more general way, as if it were something evenly distributed to all people in the same way. But God's love for you is something so much more than a general gift to all people. It is deeply personal and singular, being offered specifically for you out of love for you. God does not see you as one of many. Rather, he sees you as a singular focus of his love. Each and every person is loved by God in this singular and unique way. Thus, you are loved as his one precious child for whom he has offered his life. Know that God loves you as you. He knows every detail of your life and pours his grace upon you. Lord, I love you and adore you, and thank you for loving me with a perfect love. Help me to receive your unique gift of love offered to me as your precious child. May I return this love for you by acknowledging you as my one and only Lord and God. Amen. So here this evening, I'm going to introduce you now to Tony Brennan, the National Coordinator for the John Paul II Awards Organization, and his special guest that he has with him this evening, representing the Derry Youth Community, a wonderful youth initiative in the Derry Diocese. So you're very welcome, Tony.
Eileen, thanks very much for having us. It's great to be with you this evening. We're joining you this evening from the Gate Lodge in the grounds of St. Eugene's Cathedral in up here in Derry. And with me this evening is Billy Kraus. And Billy is from Leipzig in Germany. And Billy came to Derry 2 years ago. And Billy, you're very welcome to our broadcast this evening. Say hello to everybody out there.
Thank you. Hello. It's wonderful to be here.
The Pope John Paul Award has, as for the benefit of our listeners, was started in 2006 here in the Diocese of Derry, and it has spread through to 25 dioceses, 23 in Ireland and 2 in Britain. And here in the Diocese of Derry over the years, the DYC, as it's called, the Derry Youth Community, has been working very closely with the award here in the diocese. The Derry Youth Community was created about 5 or 6 years ago, an initiative by Father Paul Farn here in the diocese to create a community of young people who would live a life of prayer and engagement with other young people. And I'm going to sort of ask Billy a little bit about the DYC and how he got involved himself and where Billy comes from and things like that. So Billy, if you could tell us, please, how did you find out about the DYC?
So I found out about DYC, that was just about 2 years ago, when I was back in Germany. I was living in Berlin at that time. I was studying, and I had just been baptized and been introduced in the church, and I was full of joy and excitement about all of this, and I knew that I had to do something special in my life, that I had to change something in my life. And so I had the idea of going abroad and working with young people in the church, because that's something I was interested in. I had never done it before, but I thought it might be an idea. And at that time I thought, well, you want to go abroad, it should not be that far away, because it was already early summer, late spring, so there wasn't that much time. And English was the foreign language I spoke best, so I thought English-speaking Catholic in Europe. So Ireland was at the top of the list. So I asked Google to show me the youth working initiatives and volunteer opportunities in Ireland. And what they called the Derry Youth Community was at the top of the search engine. And I looked at the website and I thought, oh, that sounds interesting. So I wrote an email, didn't really expect anything. And a few days later, I got an email back inviting me to come. And really naive and youthful as I was, I just said, well, try it. I'd never been to Ireland before. I had never been to Derry before. But it was probably one of the best decisions of my life. And I came here then in August 2017, just a few months after I had heard about it first.
Okay. And you had been studying history and politics, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, it is.
And tell us a little bit, for the benefit of our speakers, a little bit about Leipzig itself. What type of city is it, and what's the background to it?
Well, I grew up, yes, in Leipzig, not far from there, which is a major city in East Germany. So it's about 2 hours south of Berlin. That's a country where faith doesn't really play that an important role. It was the former East of Germany, where faith was not important. So when I grew up, faith wasn't important at all. It wasn't even the sense that people would be atheistic or argue against religion, not even that. They would just be indifferent because it doesn't play any role in the public life. So a funny story, when I was asked who my godparent would be, I had a real problem because I didn't know any Catholic people longer than a few months. And I then actually invited a school friend who was the only person I knew was Catholic, because she had moved from the west of Germany to the east to be my godparent, so that I'm now in the funny situation that I have a godmother who is less than 1 month older than I am.
And tell us, what has attracted you to become baptized, and what attracted you to Catholicism?
When I moved to Berlin to study, I was happy. I mean, I was 17. I thought, it's a great city, you can do whatever you want. But that thought itself means that I have to know what I want to do. And I realized that I didn't really know what I wanted to do in my life, what was important for me, what was good, what was bad, what was really my focus in life. And I looked a bit around in philosophy and all that kind of stuff, but in the end, it didn't really give me the answers I was looking for. And then I went to Africa to visit a school friend, and there I had an experience of nature. And at this point, at the age of 18, for the first time in my life, the thought there could be a God popped in my head. And I have to tell you, this was distressing, because in my life, that thought had never occurred. For me, people who believed in God were kind of, well, yes, let them do that if they want to do that, but that's not for me. And it popped into my head, and I couldn't get rid of it. So I started reading, and I started to ask questions. And then I Googled the next Catholic church in my area in Berlin, where I was living. I went up to the priest and said, I have lots of questions. Could you help me? And he did help me, and then when I was 19, I got baptized, and it was very, very exciting for me.
Excellent, excellent. That's great to hear. Have you any questions yourselves there, Eileen and Joy, or Billy?
Yeah, I just want to say, Billy, it's lovely to hear your story. It's very inspiring, and especially, you know, hearing how the grace of God worked in your life, that you heard that, I suppose, they're the inner voice, in a sense, like, you know, that there is a God there, you know. And then, of course, once any of us hear that in any dimension in our life, whatever it is God is saying to us, it's very hard to ignore. Like, as you say, you can't ignore it. You have to just keep going deeper and exploring. And I suppose, just for you, just because I'm curious, obviously, especially in youth, it's so important when someone maybe does first hear that voice inside, or this conviction that God is real, or God is with me, or in my life. When you were learning more, was there any particular maybe reading, or like anything at the time you were able to get involved in to find out more about God, or that kind of just helped you to journey deeper and to make that decision to get baptized?
I remember I read a lot of things, but the book I could relate to, although it might sound a bit strange, was the Confessions from St. Augustine. You know, there was this guy 1600 years ago, but I thought, well, he has the same problems that I have. He has lived his life without any notion of God, and he is not satisfied. And then he discovers God, and he discovers this reality in his life, and then he turns his life upside down. And that was something I could relate to, although it was such a long time ago. And for me, discovering God was more than I had asked for. I mean, I set out with the simple question, oh, I want a philosophy, what's good and what is bad. And then I found God, which is so much more. There's somebody who loves me and somebody who forgives me, somebody who gives me a purpose in my life. So to discover that was amazing.
That's wonderful. That's amazing, especially the life of St. Augustine as well. And I suppose it kind of shows us too how the lives of the saints are so inspiring in that sense, that even though they lived in a different generation, that often their experiences and that just their humanity is something all of us can relate to, you know, with those shared experiences, especially searching, because I'm sure you're familiar with St. Augustine's quote, you know, our hearts are restless until they rest in him.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So it captures, I think, something for each of us. Maybe Joy, would you like to ask anything there?
Yeah, thank you, Willie. Thank you, Eileen. And thanks, everyone. Thank you, Tony. Willie, thank you so much for coming to Ireland. And it's an island of saints and scholars, as we know popularly. And you're already a missionary here. Great to know the inspiring story and the way you found God. And you're still signing up for various pilgrimages and all. And we have followed DYC on social media and very inspiring work. I would have known Hannah West very well. And she was with DYC as well, your friend. And so thank you so much for that inspiring journey. And I suppose once you sign up for DYC, did you expect, you know, there'll be a place like Loch Derg and you'll be making a pilgrimage there one day?
Well, obviously not. I had, being from Germany, I had never heard about Loch Derg, nor would I have thought that any place like this exists, because it's so countercultural, you know, a place where you go and you on your bare feet and you don't eat and you don't sleep, and it's really tough, and it's not something that many people would do voluntarily if they didn't have a reason or motivation to go. So I don't think there's any place like this in Germany, and I wouldn't have imagined a few years ago that I would at some point go to something like this.
I was explaining to Vinny before we came on air that Loch Derg is very, very unique, and I was trying to calculate, it's about 32 or 33 years ago when I did it first, and I was about 17 or 18 around at that time. I didn't really know why I was doing it or really what the purpose was, but I was challenged to do it. Myself and another lad went and we did it. And it's the same, it's for that same reason that Bishop McKeown came up with the idea for the youth pilgrimage to Loch Derg. Basically, his message is that he's going and he's willing to do it. And he's encouraged other young people to follow him as well on that pilgrimage. Bishop McKeown would say that today's society is very full on. There's lots of interference throughout the whole day. Everybody is very, very busy. And what makes Loch Derg unique to him is that it's a place of quiet, a place to reflect. And myself and Billy talking about it earlier on, it's something that we'd be curious about. I'd be curious about again to go back after all this time and see exactly what it's all about. The youth pilgrimage is starting on Friday the 21st of June, so it's a little over a week's time. And for the benefit of our listeners, it'll last from Friday through until Sunday. And our fasting will begin on midnight Thursday, the day before. And our fast will consist of a simple Loch Derg meal each day, which we're really looking forward to. It's it's black tea and toast, but you can brighten up the toast with a little bit of sugar if you wish. It doesn't come with jam or butter or anything like that. And since my time now, they've upgraded the diet now that you're entitled to some brown bread if you wish. So
very good.
So we're looking forward to our Lochdurg meal. And also we get one night's bed the whole weekend, so we shouldn't complain.
Oh, I see. So you stay awake the other nights, is it?
Yes. So the first day you plan to arrive in around midday, and you've been fasting, as I say, from the night before, and then we stay awake all through Friday night. And we will have our next meal sometime early the next day, and stay awake right through until the end of Saturday. Then Saturday, then you can sleep. But it's up bright and early on Sunday morning for early morning vigil and mass. And you'll depart the island in around 10 o'clock or so on Sunday morning. But you keep your fasting through until midnight on Sunday. And you look forward to your first meal.
Wow. It's like a spiritual boot camp, Tony.
It certainly is, yeah. They reckon it's called the Iron Man of pilgrimages.
I'd believe it, yeah.
Yes, so we're really looking forward to it. If anyone wants to find out more about the award, they can log on to lochdurg.ie. Or just Google JP2 Award and you'll see that there is an article on there that explains everything that is happening that weekend. This is the second National Youth Pilgrimage to Lochdurg. Bishop McEwen organized the first one last year. And from what I can see on social media, we're getting a lot of interest from right around the country. And I know that there are young people coming from the Diocese of Armagh, El Finn, Derry, of course, down in Connor, Clogher, and Toom. And I know that the other dioceses are spreading the word out as well. So we're really looking forward to meeting young people from right across the country. And a lot of people currently are doing exams these days at the moment and next week too. And the timing of the Lochdurg pilgrimage is just as the end of the exam period. And a lot of young people may consider that maybe Lochdurg is a place just to take away, just after exams, take a break away of all the pressure and come and find out and see what Lochdurg is all about. You'd be more than very, very welcome.
That's brilliant, Tony. Thank you. And just the age group, is it 16 upwards?
Yeah, the age group is from 16 and upwards. But a word of caution for those who are very young, Lochdurg is a challenge. It most definitely is a challenge. So if we have young people who are joining us and they're more than welcome, just consider coming with that challenge in mind. Either come with a friend or your parents or another adult if you're very young. But you'd be very, very welcome. It's a physical challenge because you're walking in your bare feet from the time that you arrive there. And, of course, you're deprived of sleep and food. So, you know, think carefully about what the challenge is and what lies ahead. But it's from my memory of all those years ago, it's worth doing and it's very fulfilling.
Brilliant. So it's not too late for people to sign up now if they want to.
Not at all. Lochdurg itself says you don't even need to pre-book. You just turn up and you'd be more than welcome. The cost is €64 or 55 sterling. And if you just arrive, try and plan to arrive around midday. The Lochdurg is the lake that the island is on. The island is itself is referred to as St. Patrick's Purgatory. So there's a boat that goes across regularly and brings people over and back. The last sailing of the day is in around 3 o'clock. So you want to time yourself so that you allow plenty of time to get that last sailing. So that's why we advise coming about 12 o'clock. And then on Sunday, then the sailings will return in around 10 o'clock. So you'd be off the island around between 10 and 11 o'clock in the day.
Very good. Just in enough time to get a big full breakfast then on the mainland.
Is Willie still up for the challenge?
Oh, yes. I mean, I was asked a few weeks ago if I would go, and I just said, why not? And ever since I've been telling people that I would go, they all look at me with pity and tell me how horrible their experience was. So I am now positively terrified. But Tony was kind of calming me down there and saying that it really is something one should do at least once in one's life.
Yeah, I think so. At least once in your life. So that at least you experience it and see what it's like for yourself.
Absolutely. So maybe Tony will and Willie will just take an opportunity now just to take a short music break, and then just after the break we'd love to hear more as well about the Derry youth community there too.
Okay,
and we just invite our listeners, if you would like to text or WhatsApp and join in tonight's conversation, you can contact us or text 089-467-2000. Thank you. I cannot see when darkness falls upon me. Hello and welcome back again to Life to the Full program here this evening. We are delighted to be joined by Tony Brennan, a national coordinator for the John Paul II Awards organization, and Vili as well, who's involved with the Derry Youth Community there in the Derry Diocese as well this evening. And we've had a lovely conversation with them so far, all about the work they are doing and just the amazing stories there from Vili as well of his own faith journey, and all about Lough Derg from Tony as well. So I've had a real treat so far tonight, and we're looking forward to hearing more from them now as well. And just before that, I would like to share with you a couple of messages we received as well, saying good evening all at Life to the Full, enjoying a nice chat, got to listen to last week's show repeat, which was a nice mix of music and chat and prayer. God bless you all. And just another one here saying, enjoying your lovely show, Eileen and Joy, and your guests, Tony and Vili, very interesting and uplifting. So just some nice feedback for you all there as well.
Thanks very much, everybody.
Very good. So back over to you, Tony and Vili. Maybe you would like to share more with us about the work that the Derry Youth Community do, and maybe how they were founded initially as well, or what inspired the community.
Well, indeed. Thanks very much, Eileen. Yes, the Derry Youth Community, or DYC as they like to call themselves, it was an idea that Father Paul Farn, who's a priest here in the Diocese of Derry, came across in the Diocese of Hexham and Newcastle in England. There's a priest over there, Father Declan Donnelly, who is actually the brother of Anton Deck, and brother of Anton Deck, of the Declan and the Anton Deck, you know, the Declan and Anton Deck.
Very good, yes.
Declan's brother, Father Donnelly, who's in the first name I can't remember, he is responsible for youth ministry in the Diocese of Hexham and Newcastle. And they had an initiative over there where they have teams of young people who live in community and prayer. And those young people, they work with schools and parishes throughout the diocese. So Father Paul saw this model and he thought, right, we could bring that back to Ireland, back here to Derry. And he formed the Derry Youth Community. And Vili, maybe you would share exactly what the community is about and some of the type of work that you're involved. Tell us what community means in DYC.
Yes, well, thank you. You mentioned some aspects of it before. So we live in community, which means we have a house in the city centre of Derry, and all of us live there together. So we live and we cook and we pray and work there together, and that's an amazing experience because we are people from very different ways of life, even from different countries, coming together and living together, which can be quite challenging from time to time, to be honest, but it's great because you learn so much. That's the first aspect, the community aspect. The second one is prayer. So the whole community is centered around prayer. We all together do the morning prayer, evening prayer, night prayer of the church together every day, and we go to Mass, and we have loads of elements of prayer during the day, and we pray for each other and for the people in Derry and for all the young people, because this is what we set out to do, to minister to the young people and to spread the good news to the young people. And that would be the third aspect, the work here in the Diocese of Derry, especially in the Derry City, so in the parishes here, but all across the diocese, so from Inishowen on the one side right up to Mahara, we go into schools and we deliver retreats for all ages, so from primary level and secondary level as well. We help in the sacramental preparation, so if somebody is doing their first communion or their first confession or their confirmation in the Diocese of Derry, they've probably met me. I can't remember all of them because there were so many, but some of them maybe remember me. Yes, that's what we do. And we help with anything we can be at service at.
So give us an idea of the flavor of a retreat. For so do you do treats with primary schools or secondary schools? Or
primary schools and secondary schools, yes. Uh-huh. Primary schools mostly for the sacramental preparation, mm-hmm. and secondary schools really for any topic they want us to do. So, for example, we go in and do retreats during Advent, obviously preparing in the season of Advent for Christmas, and getting this feeling of expectation across to the young people that at Christmas something really important is happening, and that Advent is not just about getting your presents and waiting until you get off school, but that Advent is really about preparation. So what we do during retreats is we start with a prayer and normally end with a mass, and in between there are different workshops of meditations and games and activities that we do. We try to do something different from their regular day-to-day school life so that they have an experience that they can take home with them and kind of live from this experience.
Very good. Recently, there was a Fan the Flame event. It was last week. It was last week. It was here in the diocese in Celtic Park. So anyone who has come to Derry to visit Celtic Park, they'll know where it is in the city. And it's the GAA football pitch. And they invited all the children who had completed their or had received their confirmation this year. And the one whole stand was filled with 3,000 young people from right across the diocese. And that was last Thursday, yeah. So DIC were assisting at that event, and I was glad to be part of it myself. It was great to see 3,000 young people full of excitement on a miserable day. But the rain didn't stop them. They were covered in, but the rest of us all standing out looking back were getting drowned. But we battled through it all. And would you have met most of those people that had done their confirmation, a lot of the schools?
Probably. So we have done dozens of sacramental talks in most of the parishes, mm-hmm. right across the diocese, and done preparatory retreats with them in their schools. So I would have met a lot of them.
Yes.
And actually, just a week before, 2 weeks before, we went around some schools to prepare them for the Mass. So at one point during the Mass, we had a dance and a song, This Little Light of Mine, and everybody was supposed to dance at this. And so we went around the schools and we prepared them for this and we taught them the song. So actually last Thursday I stood in the rain in the middle of a GAA pitch dancing in front of 3,000 people, which is a lot more fun than you would think. I really, really enjoyed it and used to see the joy those young people had. Well, admittedly, they were dry. I wasn't.
Yes.
But it was a great experience.
It sounds like fantastic work you're doing there, Billy, and also like very joyful work too, you know, because it's, you know, it's life-giving in the sense that you're sharing that faith and that joy that God has given each of us with others. And of course, every time we share it, we find is the more we even receive in abundance, you know, especially that fruit of joy from the Holy Spirit, which is a wonderful witness for all those young people to see you, you know, truly just living out your faith. You're happy, singing, dancing, and in any way that we can share that with others.
Yeah, it's great to see. It's at such events like that, it's great to see all the work that goes behind the scenes in the lead up to such events. And, you know, your work in the DYC will be starting all over again now in September. Is that right, Billy?
Yes.
It just goes around in a cycle, is that right?
Yes, so our year starts at the beginning of September, at the end of August, and goes for 10 months until the end of June. So I will finish my second year here now in a few weeks, and I won't continue, but we hope and we pray that we get new members next September so that they continue this work. And I would encourage anybody really to come or to talk to young people if you know them, if they want to do something like this, because I can just speak for myself. It's a tremendous opportunity to grow and to mature and to find out more about yourself and about your faith and about God, really.
Absolutely. And what about is there a big mission team there? Have you people who would have different roles for youth or organizer or admin? And
yeah, here in the diocese, there's quite a lot of things going on. The Pope John Paul II Award was created by Father Paul here in the diocese. And they have a coordinator. There's a coordinator for the diocese itself. So each diocese throughout the whole country has one coordinator, and they in turn have leaders as well to assist them. So here in the Diocese of Derry, we have the JP2 Award. They also have the DYC. Then they have a events, children's liturgy events that happens every Sunday, isn't that right?
Yes, every Sunday.
What did they call the event they have at the children's liturgy? It's got a name. It's got a catchy name.
Jesus and me.
Very nice.
Jam program.
Yes. So the Jam program is very good. It's basically children's liturgy. It's on 11 o'clock every Sunday here in the parish of St. Eugene's. And it's become one of the most popular masses in the weekly calendar. All the school children come to that special mass, and you know, it's subtle in that during the week they're introduced to that mass, and every school has a role to play each week. Isn't that correct,
yes,
Ellie? Yeah.
Yes. So be it singing, or be it bringing up the gifts, or be it reading, and then of course for the younger ones, so from primary 1 to 4, they come with us into the children's liturgy, and we have a special liturgy during the normal liturgy of the word, introducing them to the gospel reading of that Sunday and doing some activities, drawing and gluing and sticking and cutting, of course appropriate for their age in relation to this gospel reading. And it's great fun.
And they're prepared during the week, is that right, Philly, for that reading, is that, or are they introduced?
Yes, they're in their schools, they are prepared for their roles during the Mass.
Excellent. And then at the Mass, then I think you'll see that the young people are, just before the readings begin, the children are all called for throughout the whole cathedral, and they all leave the cathedral and go into the area where the children's liturgy will begin. And then the normal mass continues on with the first and second reading, and do they come back for the gospel?
No, they stay in there all through the prayers of the faithful. They come back for the liturgy of the Eucharist.
Okay, yes. And then just at the Our Father, they're invited up again. So the priest who usually celebrates that Mass on a Sunday is Father Patrick. Father Patrick is a young priest of small stature. And he's up there on the altar, and he invites all the children up, and they all surround himself on the altar. It's a sight to see, I can tell you. And they all recite the Our Father, and then they all go back down to their parents and guardians in the church, and then complete out the Mass. There's lots of those type of activities going on here in the diocese, and the diocese is continually sharing those type of activities and sharing those out with other churches to encourage people to get involved, to get become more part of the life of the parish. There's lots of similar initiatives being pushed out through by Bishop McKeown. He created a diocesan plan. And in that plan for the next 3 to 4 years, in that plan, those type of activities are shared so that other parishes throughout the whole diocese, and it's quite a large diocese, can pick those up and see if they can try something similar in their own parishes to encourage and increase engagement all the time. And DYC is part of that process of getting people engaged. And the call is constantly going out in all parishes looking for parishioners to take up roles of leadership. They can lead people in youth ministry. They can lead visitations to the sick. All those type of things. I was recently involved in a parish survey in the parish of Moville, which is up in the Inishowen Peninsula. And they carried out a survey within the parish to see what people think of parish life. And part of that, they put the call out to see if anyone would come forward and help in different types of parish activities. And there was a few that stood out. One was the amount of people that came forward that wanted to help in both youth activities and children activities. Lots came forward to help getting involved in school boards. And more importantly, a lot of people came forward to be part of visitation teams that would visit those in care homes or who live on their own. So those type of things are stemming from the pastoral plan that Bishop McKeown has created here in the diocese. And hopefully in the next few months, those things will be continued to be built on. And we'll keep you abreast of those type of things, Eileen.
Yeah, that would be wonderful, actually, because it's so good to be able to share that with our listeners and just to hear the wonderful initiatives that are happening and just see like the amount of work that's being done there by yourselves, Tony, and the JP2 Awards and the Derry Youth Community as well. Like there's so much coordination and organizing involved there, you know, linking up with parishes and different teams and people who are available to volunteer and linking with schools. It's so wonderful, you know, you're really bringing them all together and uniting them, and you know, where we're united in faith, you know, there's no stopping it. The Holy Spirit,
there's no stopping at all.
Absolutely. And there's such strength in that, and really helps us when we have you know, people that we can share those moments with and to support us and encourage us in our work, and that we can work together. It's a wonderful gift in our faith to have to share that together.
It is, and as I say to lots of people, if you don't know what you're doing, just do it with confidence. It'll eventually come through.
That's true. The Holy Spirit works then.
Definitely. I can relate to that. I mean, when I came here first and I was introduced to youth ministry, I'd never done anything of that sort in my life. I can reveal now, when I had my DYC interview to see if I was suitable for this, I was asked what I would put an emphasis on when delivering a retreat. So to be honest, I had never been on a retreat myself because I didn't go to a Catholic school or anything like that. So I had no idea what that was about or this question was about. I then gave a very general answer, which must have been good enough. But I learned so much when I came here. I had no qualifications before. I was just open to the experience and I wanted to help. And that was enough. And I learned so much and I grew so much. And I'm really thankful for all the people who helped and supported me and us here.
Billy, that's great to hear. Your 2 years here in Derry have gone so fast. And you're coming towards the end of your time here. Well, should I say your time with DYC. So fingers crossed, though, that you'll stay close to Derry.
I hope so, yes. Yeah.
That's a very inspiring story there, Billy. And please be assured of our prayers on behalf of Radio Maria here, and also sincere thanks to Tony and his team, and also Bishop McKeown and Archbishop Eamon Martin, and also Father La in Lochdurg, and also all our bishops, priests. Especially we unite this month with Pope Francis, his prayer intention for priests as well, including our own Father Eamon McCarthy.
And we have a lovely message here as well we received from a listener, just for you, Tony and Billy, as well, saying thank you for the great work you do with our wonderful youth and schools, Tony and Billy and friends. Thank you all at Life to the Full. Radio Maria is truly Life to the Full with all the lovely programming and like a glowing sun into our homes every day. God bless and thank God. So that's a lovely encouraging text to receive there as well, acknowledging all the good work that you do. And we pray that the Holy Spirit and the Lord and Blessed Mother will always continue to guide you and bless you in the work that you're doing and all the souls that you're reaching through the work you do with youth, especially. Such a wonderful gift to be able to share that then through the airwaves.
Thanks very much. It's great. Thanks very much, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Tony and Billy, for joining us this evening. We're to the end of our program for this week. And if you'd like to listen back to this show again, it will be repeated Friday night at 9 p.m., Saturday 6 p.m., and Monday 9 p.m., and will be available on podcast in the coming days as well. So we thank you very much for listening in, and may God bless you and have a wonderful week. Take care.